Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Happy early signing period week. Welcome into the Illini Inquirer podcast. I'm Jeremy Warner, Illini Inquirer publisher, and this week marks the first signing period for college football. From Wednesday until Thursday, class of 2022 prospects can sign national letters of intent binding them to the university of their choice. This is 5 years old, this early signing period now. I remember the first one we had was 2017, and it was the 2018 class. Virtus Brown was the big get for Illinois on that day, announcing over Missouri at that time, which was a huge recruiting win. And we'll see if Virtus's last 2 years of eligibility here makes a big impact now playing nose guard. But since then, it has become the de facto signing day. I think we look at basketball, November is kind of the big one, right, where most prospects seem to sign that day. I will say it's starting to trend where more prospects are waiting till April, where they know who's coaching where and all of that. But when it comes to football, the early signing period, which is just 6 weeks before the normal period, has become the major one, as coaches really want to lock up their class. And I think for some, it has been an advantage. I think for a school like Illinois, it certainly has been an advantage where they can kind of get their guys locked up before maybe some of these bigger fish come around and steal their guys and kind of make these last-minute flips if they miss out on some of their top prospects. But there are some who don't like the early signing period already, and there's already talk. Bob Bowlesby, the Big 12 commissioner, talked about doing away with this because of what we're seeing, how it impacts the coaching carousel. We're seeing coaches fired earlier in the year so that they can work in recruiting, have a couple weeks to kind of lock down their class, go sign somebody else, go get in on somebody else. And it just caused this crazy, crazy cycle, mid-season firings and all of this. But the other day, we're still doing this. We still have this early signing period. I think having it in August makes a little bit more sense for the high school prospect if he wants to sign before he starts his season, be done with recruiting and all of that. But coaches, understandably so, really don't want it in August because July is kind of their big month to actually not work and to have some vacation with their crazy, crazy schedules all year. So I don't think coaches or their families would like that very much, but I think it would make more sense for prospects and all of that. But for right now, we're still doing the early signing period, and it's going to be a busy one for Illinois football. They currently have 19 commitments in the class of 2022, and I am recording this 10 a.m. on Monday. So that could change here in the next couple days or two, whenever you are listening to this. But 19 commitments, currently the number 42 class in the country. And as Ryan Eastering and I talked a couple weeks ago, that would be the highest ranked recruiting class for Illinois in a decade. So Brett Bielema, most of his classes at Wisconsin were 35 to 50. This is kind of what he does. And there's no top 500 prospects in this class, but there's a significant amount of Power 5 wins and a significant amount of in-state prospects. 9 currently in this class for Illinois. The class does rank 10 in the Big Ten. That's lifted a little bit by quantity. Their average star ranking is last in the Big Ten currently on the composite rankings. Now, if you go to 24/7 sports rankings, which if you have the URL on the website, all you got to do is take out the composite part of the URL. And I wish we made that a little easier. But all you got to do is take that out, and you can see that the Illinois class ranks a little higher for 24/7 sports. Currently number 37 nationally and number 8 in the Big Ten. And their average star ranking is above Purdue. So still a lot could happen with the last couple days. Still some targets that they're going after. But I wanted to preview early signing period with what Illinois has now, especially with the Midwest prospects. with the guy who's one of the best in the business, in my opinion, the best in the business, Alan True, has been doing this for a long time. Scout 24/7 Sports. He's going to be on Big Ten Network. He's so good for National Signing Day yet again. And I had him come on the podcast. He gave us about 20 minutes of his time and broke down all of Illinois' in-state commits, Midwest commits, and there's a lot of them. So Alan True is going to join us next on the Illini Inquirer podcast to break down the Illinois class of 2022.
Hello, everyone. It's Michael Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire, now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Happy to have on the Illini Inquirer podcast Alan True, 24/7 Sports national recruiting analyst. And Alan, it's a new era in Illinois football. We saw, I think, more consistent football week to week with Illinois this year. They go 5-7, not a fantastic year, but competitive throughout the Big Ten West. And they've had a full year to dive into recruiting. So I'm just wondering your initial impressions of Brett Bielema's staff, their first full recruiting class.
Yeah, so the first impression is I get to talk to you a lot more and help you guys out a lot more because there's a lot more focus in the region and especially in state and around the other states in the Midwest. So that's nice. I mean, they're a Big Ten program. You would expect them to be more active there. And so I think they've done a great job of that because you would think it would be hard to come in your first year. There were relationships to repair. I think there was some branding that needed to be repaired as far as do they even care about recruiting the kids from here. You would think that that might take some time to show some results. It didn't really. When you look at the kids that they got in this class from in-state, they weren't just guys like we're going to pluck this guy who's low-hanging fruit. You know, they had to win some battles for those kids. And so I thought they did a really good job. And you know, we both know that they put an emphasis on it right away. They called a lot of high school coaches. They did a lot of kind of relations things that I think helped and is going to help moving forward as well.
Why do you think that matters, Alan, recruiting state? I mean, I've talked about it for a decade here with Illinois covering them. Why do you think it matters for Illinois to put such a huge effort into recruiting its own state?
Yeah, so first of all, you know, those guys are probably less likely to leave. You're talking about kids who can go home and have parental support, can be there every week. You're talking about, I think there's some feeling with the team of like, this is, you know, we're taking care of our home state. Maybe that helps you in terms of fan support, people coming to the games, people coming to see kids that they know, that they went to high school with, that they taught, all those sorts of things. And then I think beyond that, it's just harder to leave your state and your region and win battles. Like if Jared Beatty was in Texas, probably have a harder time getting him, or Georgia, he's down there. You know, you're battling all sorts of different schools and you're battling distance and all those things. So I think you give yourself an easier chance to keep Power Five talent and get that into your class if you're not kind of have location working against you.
Alan, not a top 500 prospect in this class, but as you kind of look at the top of this, or you kind of look at the 19 commitments in this class, what encourages you if you're an Illinois fan?
Well, I think it's that. I think it's that you've come in and you've already won some battles. Guys who previously wouldn't have gone to Illinois. And then I think you also feel good about this staff's ability to evaluate with how many of those guys came through and had good seasons. You know, Jordan Anderson, on the lower on the three-star scale, when they offer him, when they take his commitment, one of the more dominant players in the state of Illinois this year, moves up in the rankings as a result. So I think you feel good about their ability to take a guy like him and evaluate him. Jordan wasn't an easy eval because of his position and his body type and what could he be, what could he not be. So I think you feel good about that. I think you feel good that they're moving in the right direction there. They haven't just abandoned going out of state. It's not like we're taking only Midwest guys. So I think there's the right blend here regionally of let's go out of state and pull some guys who we know can play here, who can help us, but also, you know, keep the Midwest talent at home.
I want to ask you specifically about some of these guys. Jordan Anderson, you mentioned there, 6'3", 225 pounds. Not many running backs these days, Alan, who go that big. And, you know, when you watch him, I watch him in person a couple times this year. He's just a man amongst boys. So when you are evaluating him, how do you kind of foresee his role at the next level, and why do you think he can succeed at that level? You know, when obviously defenses are going to be bigger, easier to tackle him when you got great athletes who are his size. So what is your evaluation of him going to the next level?
Yeah, I think we were really kind of wondering what he was going to be or how to evaluate him at first. And then I think sometimes you can trick yourself. Like, at the end of the day, this guy is big. He's productive, he's athletic, and I think we saw that in a camp setting. That helped a lot, where you took the pads off him, you kind of stripped away the physicality of it. As you mentioned, like, he's running through competition that isn't as big and strong. And we saw him in camp. He caught the football very well. He ran routes well. You saw that he could do some things away from his body. He wasn't just this bulldozer. And then I think there's still a place for that kind of back. When you look around the league, you look around some of the other guys that have had success. I look at a guy like Xander Horvath at Purdue, who I doubt anybody thought would be a successful tackle. I know nobody did, because no one offered him a scholarship out of high school. And you wouldn't have thought that he would be somebody that you could hand the football to and have success in the Big Ten. I look at a guy like that and say, Jordan Anderson can be that. And then if he's not, he can do enough other things, block, catch, even tackle, to where, like, there's a spot for that guy on the roster somewhere.
Yeah, he's just a good football player, right? And at some point, those guys find a way to the field. One of the biggest gets in this class is Aiden Loughery, and there's not often that Ford County, Illinois, produces a Power 5 prospect. So to get the kid from GCMS was a monster win over Iowa, and Iowa, with the season they had, it looks even better in hindsight. He's had some injury issues in high school, but what do you like so much about Aiden Loughery? Because I believe 24/7 Sports, I think we're the highest on him at number 14 in the state.
Yeah, so first, that's, you know, when you talk about encouraging signs in the class, Iowa's not an easy school to beat in recruiting. I don't know how many times Illinois has done it in the last 4 or 5 years before Bielema was in. I don't think it's been many. And so they do it here. And that seemed to be heading Iowa's direction. And not just them, but, you know, Michigan State had offered him. There were other schools that were involved with him. So what we like about him, first of all, you can't talk about him and not talk about the speed. I mean, and it is verified speed on the track. And then from there, it's like, is he just a track guy, or does the speed translate to the football field? It does. You know, is he still a physical football player? His coaches say, you know, they love him on both sides of the ball. Could have been recruited on either side of the football as a defensive back or as a running back slot. And I think over the years, when we've kind of missed guys, or maybe guys were too low, or I feel like there we could have had somebody higher, especially in the state. I look at a guy like Scotty Miller, who's at Bolingbrook. Watched him catch touchdown passes in the playoffs last year, and I went back and I'm looking at the track times and going, how did we let this slide past us with this kind of speed? Usually we've missed like a 100-meter time or something in there that could have told us this guy was going to be pretty good. So with Aiden, it's like, let's trust the data. If a guy can run that fast and he's a good football player on film, chances are he's going to find his way into being a pretty good football player in college.
Two other kids in state that were significant wins for them. Ian Pugh was committed to Cincinnati, had the Iowa offer. They get him. And Iowa gets Jacob Bostic, who's a similar prospect. But Jared Beatty as well had a bunch of Big Ten offers, Power 5 offers. I don't think we expect those guys to maybe make an immediate impact. But long term, what do you think they can be for Illinois?
Yeah, Ian, you know, the state of Illinois had such a strange season last year that by the time we played in the spring, it just didn't even feel right, you know, going to some of those games and looking at the tape, it was different. And so I think Ian in the spring, we were kind of not sure about what to think of him and some of the, and really the team at Fenwick. When they come back this year and they win a state title, he plays really, really well, very naturally gifted. And I think that's the story with him and Jared Beatty. You have two guys who are very long at their position, very athletic, have lots of upside. I think both guys need the weight room. Both guys need the strength and conditioning program. They need some development. But both guys, that's the kind of guy that, like you said, when you're a new staff and you're trying to build a program, you're not going to get a lot of ready-made guys. You have to develop guys like this in order to win. And both of those guys are athletic and big and long and have a lot of upside. So now it's on Illinois to develop.
Let's keep it in state, Alan. I thought when Brett Bielema came in here, there were a couple guys I thought, you know, Illinois needs to look at. Jordan Anderson was near the top of the list. But I also thought Hank Beatty is a guy that Illinois just needs to get in its program. Like, if you're a Michigan, maybe you don't offer a Hank Beatty, but I just thought Illinois needs to add that kind of downstate talent if they're able to. What do you think he can be at the next level? Obviously a great athlete at his size of high school. Rochester's a powerhouse here. What do you think he can bring to the Illinois program?
Yeah, I think, you know, when we've talked about evaluating wide receivers, it's easy to fall in love with the 6'3", you know, gazelles that are out there. But the NFL is full of slot receivers who we had ranked too low. And I think a guy like him, I just mentioned Scotty Miller, or a guy like Willie Snead that was in the Midwest. Those are guys that we undervalue because, you know, they weren't quite as tall as the other guys, not quite the pretty looking prospect, but they're really skilled and they're really athletic. And I think that's exactly what Hank Beatty is. Extremely skilled as a route runner. You even saw that in a sophomore tape. And then, you know, when they've needed him to do other things, needed him to end up playing quarterback, he's done that and done it extremely well. I think he has the chance to be the guy in this class that we most look at in several years and say, like, maybe we should have had him a little bit higher. He's been kind of hidden from view. No camps, hasn't been out there on, you know, doesn't even have a tape put together from this year. And so that, as somebody who assigns the rankings, he scares me a lot because we don't have as much information on him. But I think what we've seen, that kid can be really, really good.
The one guy I went back senior year, so I want to ask you about it because Henry Boyer, when they took him, I know you and I talked, man, he could be an interesting left tackle prospect. But I watched his film this year, and I do see a guy that can play a little bit of tight end as a jumbo blocker, as a guy in the red zone. Like he's a guy that in my head, like I didn't know what he was when they first got him, maybe a project. But to me, he's kind of rising in my mind of after seeing some of his senior film. So what did you think of him?
Yeah, the same thing as you. You know, he was just a big frame before. Even when before he got to Brother Rice, it's like, we need to keep an eye on this guy because of how big he is. He hasn't really shown us much yet in terms of development and what he could be. I think you've seen that progression happen the last 2 years, and you like that. Honestly, from sophomore to junior year tape, huge difference. And from junior year to senior year tape, huge difference. So you expect that again once he gets to college. And I do think he can be a big tight end. And I do think that, like we said with Jordan Anderson, and there being a place still for a kind of a traditional big back, I think there's a place still for traditional tight ends. I think what they're going to have to figure out at Illinois, and what Henry's going to have to figure out, is that better than what the upside would be at another position? You know, where can he most help them? I think long term, there's a lot of NFL offensive tackles that look like Henry Boyer as a senior. Some of them played for Brett Bielema at Wisconsin. Right. So, you know, they have experience with making this kind of transition. Wouldn't shock me if he's wearing 77 in a couple of years and is an all Big Ten guy at offensive tackle, but he showed enough this year to where we said, this guy, we should keep him at tight end for the moment because I think he can, at least in the rankings, because he looked good enough there.
It's weird to talk about this many in-state guys, Alan, but I got to throw a couple more at you because Illinois's got 9 of them at the moment. They took some chances on guys, got out in front, right? Malachi Hood, linebacker at Joliet Catholic. Clayton Leonard, you know, small school at Iroquois West, you know, just south of Kankakee here. And then TJ Griffin, kid who played for an 0-9 team, but I got a friend who coaches at one of the Lincoln Way schools, and he said, that guy's a dude. What do you think? Those guys are kind of sleeper prospects. Illinois got in front. What do you think of adding guys like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to blend winning the battles for the Jared Beatty's and the Aiden Lofferies with, you're going to have to hit on some of these evaluations. And I think that this staff has done that in the past before they got to Illinois, and they're going to trust that. I think and even at Illinois before they got there, we've covered some guys like that over the year where it's like Nate Hobbs himself was kind of a late riser, wasn't like this guy they recruited heavily through the process. We've seen the Doug Kramers and the Alex Palchuskis and those guys work. I think these guys are in that mold. TJ Griffin, for being a guy that nobody knew, when I turned on the tape, I was like, this is a really good find. And so as an Illinois fan, I think you have to feel good about your staff continuing to turn over rocks and finding a kid like that in his senior year. I thought his film really stood out. We'll see what happens with him once he gets to college. I think that's a really good take. Clayton Leonard, you know, a developmental guy. That's a project for Bielema and Bart Miller. He's got a lot of talent, got a frame. Going to have to come in and get in the weight room. But I think, again, you know, you take a kid in state who has some frame and some athleticism and plays hard on tape. So I think those are the kind of guys that you're going to have to hit on a couple of them in order for the program to grow.
Big offensive line class. Not a surprise with Brett Bielema, right? And Bart Miller, I think you've known, has been a pretty good recruiter in the Midwest, even when he was out in say, Wyoming. Want to ask you about a few of those guys. And I got to start with this huge international man of mystery, Magnus Møller, 6'9", 300 pounds. Met him, just an unbelievable kid to talk to, Alan. But I said, hey, I don't know what you guys want to rank him, but he's committed, so can we get him ranked? And you came back with a pretty high number. Why? Why did you feel Magnus Møller should be a high three-star recruit?
So, you know, I tried to go into that with about as clean of a slate as could be, and I really did because I didn't know a ton about that guy. I know Brandon Collier and the PPI guys, and they have mentioned him. But tried to go in without any bias and just look at this because it would be really easy to just see an international kid who's maybe a little bit physically underdeveloped, who's going to Illinois, had some offers, but it wasn't like the entire country was going after him. It'd be really easy to just slap a low 80 on a kid like right. that. Let's really watch this. And I thought he was outstanding. I mean, I really expected a much more raw kid. I didn't see that. I thought he was technically pretty sound. And part of that is these European kids, once they decide to play football, like they really get into it and take it seriously. And once they see like a path to education in the States and all that, these guys really work at it. And that's why I think when PPI first came out and schools started to fly over to Germany and evaluate recruits, there was a lot of skepticism about that. The precedent's now been set by these groups before that these guys are gonna, a lot of them have turned out. There's a lot of success stories. So you feel good about that. This kid, I think, has every tool in the book. You don't find 6'8", 6'9", that can bend the way he does. Part of me still wonders if I didn't go high enough. Like I think he has a chance. If you look at the guys in this class and you say who has the most NFL upside in the class, like I really think he's top of the list for me.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Like, I didn't know if I was going to go that high. I was trying to be like, hey, I don't want to be the homer here, but I just watched him and, you know, you worry about 6'9", can he get down and bend and get down in these guys? And his arms are unbelievably long, quick feet. So I think the ceiling's there, right? Like, I mean, maybe it doesn't work out, but the ceiling certainly is there. Joey Okla was the first one in this class. And he played a big part as a recruiter. But to go up in Wisconsin, Wisconsin had an offer, grew up a Badgers fan. Wisconsin's obviously not hurting on the offensive line in their class either, but Illinois doesn't go up there very often and get somebody. So what are they getting out of the Badger State and Joey Okla?
Yeah, I think it's almost the opposite tale from Magnus Møller, where you really know what you're getting here in this guy. Comes from an outstanding high school football program that's put out a lot of college prospects, but it's particularly on the offensive line, and he's been a standout player for them, been a leader for them, been kind of a rock on that team. Interior guys, so sometimes those guys get overlooked, but like I said, the Doug Kramers of the world will tell you, the Kendrick Greens of the world will tell you that you need those guys, and those guys can anchor your offensive line. That's what I think you're getting here with Joey Okla, and I think that's why Illinois targeted him as one of the first guys in the class and somebody that they wanted to be a foundational piece, because he's extremely safe. He's going to do everything they need to do. He's going to be technically sound. He's going to work extremely hard. I wouldn't be shocked if that guy's starting multiple years for Illinois somewhere on the offensive line, probably center, guard. He can give you depth at both positions. But I think you look at Doug Kramer as maybe, kind of a blueprint for how his career could go.
Yeah, you'd be shocked if he's not a captain at some point with the way he kind of approaches it. All right, one more Midwest guy I got to ask you about. and that's Hunter Whitenack. Not a surprise Brett Bielema offered this kid, 6'7", 300 pounds. Another Midwest kid out of state, though, out of Indiana. Didn't have offers from some of those in-state programs, but Illinois gets in him, in on him before those schools have a chance to see him in camps, and they close that one down. Do you think Hunter Whitenack is a guy that can play tackle at that size, or do you think he's interior? What do you think of him?
I think you can go either, but you're probably looking at a right tackle if I had to guess. You know, massive, obviously really, really big. But at that size, you know, has I think he's got a – he was the one with the big wrestling background, right? Yeah. I think that was what we liked about him. Is usually being really tall isn't an advantage in wrestling. So if you're that tall and you're able to have some success on the mat, you've got to be, you know, strong and able to bend and understand leverage, and he does. He was one where, you know, the film's like, we have this big, giant kid just mauling guys. We don't really know much else about him because that was in the COVID year of not getting to see guys at camp. That was tough. Then things opened back up. Him and Joey Okla showed up at the same camp at Under Armour, and we were going, okay, this guy can move pretty well for how big he is. And that's when he started to inch up the rankings. So, you know, another one where that's kind of the theme, I think, of this class is you take big developmental bodies and now, you know, you got to work to mold them. I think Hunter's in that boat. But obviously, there's a whole lot to work with there.
Alan, to me, this reminds me of Lovie Smith's first class, which ended up being a very good foundation class for him. I mean, you mentioned Hobbs, Palcheski, Kendrick Green, Vidarian Lowe, and those guys all made big impacts. Owen Carney just had a nice season. Kirby Joseph just had a nice season. What do you think this class – is this class similar in that regard? You think it's a solid foundation for Brett Bielema?
I do, yeah. And like I said, I think there's a lot of high upside developmental bodies in this class. And I think that when you look in the Big Ten West, when you look around the league, that's a lot of what it is. That's what Iowa and Wisconsin and even Northwestern and Nebraska, that's what they've done. I think that's what you have to do to win on that side of the conference. And I think Illinois is going after the right kids. And so I do think that in a couple of years, it may take a little bit of time for the fruits of this class to kind of show themselves. But I do think that in a couple of years, you'll look back similarly and we'll be able to rattle off the same amount of names that have made an impact, particularly on both fronts.
So if we look to 2023, Alan, what do you think is the next step for Brett Bielema and his staff?
Yeah, so I think that you want to continue to build your reputation in state to where you can continue to win some of those battles at the top and maybe even a few more, or you go a little bit higher on the board. You know, I think that Joey Okla was a good first kind of foray into Wisconsin. You know, that's a bordering state that has some talent that you can go up there and get talent from. And that's, you don't have to beat Wisconsin. There's great kids that go from Wisconsin every year that end up going to NDSU or Northern Illinois, or, you know, I think that you got to get some of those guys to camp and evaluate those kids. And so I think that's, I don't think that the next step is anything too drastic. I think they laid the foundation in this class. They set their blueprint and now it's just progression from that. I don't see a huge need to change what they're doing or to say, like, we got to do something different in 2023. I think it's just continuing on the same upward path that you started in 22.
Alan True, 24/7 Sports National Recruiting Analyst. Alan, looking forward to seeing you on Big Ten Network yet again on Wednesday, and then a much-deserved vacation, man.
Yeah, I'll clean up this before then. But, yeah, looking forward to it. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Alan. Alan True is the goods. You can follow him on Twitter at Alan True. It's spelled T-R-I-E-U. Yeah, there could be more additions to this class. And by the time you're listening to this, whatever you do, there could be more additions. Illinois had several official visitors over the weekend, including T.J. Griffin, who's already committed, Terrell Jones, Alabama three-star defensive lineman who's already committed, but a couple other guys to watch. Isaiah Adams, JUCO, offensive tackle. I think he's a really important target for Illinois in this class. He's the number 5 JUCO offensive tackle in the class of 2022, according to 24/7 Sports, and he could fill an immediate, huge need at tackle outside of or opposite of Julian Pearl. Illinois needs a lot of offensive linemen, and they're going to probably add maybe 2 or 3 guys, I think 3 at this point, of trying to get ready to play guys after losing 4 starting offensive linemen. And Isaiah Adams at 6'6", 320, moves really well, had really good film at Garden City, which is one of the best JUCOs in the country, really physical player as well, Canada native, so he got to know Chase and Sidney Brown during his official visit, and there's just playing time. Kansas is involved. He took an official visit there. Lance Leipold, I'd never underestimate him. Really good coach, really good developer of talent from his time at Wisconsin Whitewater, winning national championships at the D3 level, or at Buffalo, where he kind of rose that program into a MAC title contender. So that's a team to watch. UCF is in the mix as well, but Illinois getting the last official visit is really important. A developmental prospect, Tyson Rooks, a Georgia player, 6'5", 180, only played 1 year high school football this past year, but he was really good. And 6'5", 180, that's usually a wide receiver, right? Illinois likes him at safety. He's not going to replace Kirby Joseph right away, as Kirby is entered the NFL draft, but 6'5", 180, and he moves really well for his size. Basketball player, former tennis player, so his lateral agility probably better than most 6'5 guys, because you get a little too long, you get a little stiffer. Illinois, Ryan Walters and Aaron Henry like his potential at safety, and that's certainly an area where they need to add more depth and long-term kind of ability there. So he's one to watch, and we'll see if Illinois can make a flip. Curley Thomas, a three-star edge rusher who Ryan and I talked about last week, didn't end up making his official visit to Illinois over the weekend. So it seems like Justin Wilcox, who reportedly turned down the Oregon job, an Oregon alum turning down that job to stay at Cal, Illinois wasn't able to get him there. So it seems like Justin Wilcox was able to lock that one down. But Illinois working on another edge rusher, Gabriel Jacques out of Florida, three-star edge rusher, outside linebacker, big, strong kid, great wrestler. So I think he can kind of play that Owen Carney role eventually in his career. Currently committed to Tulane, but it seems like it's come down to Illinois and Tennessee there. He just visited Tennessee, an official visit. So I think Illinois can sell its development of outside linebackers. They offered first before Tennessee. But with Tennessee, it's a storied program, right? And it's SEC for a Florida kid. So concerns there. I think most people from the outside would see Tennessee as a tough one to beat for Illinois, but we'll see how the next couple days play out there. And Cody Jones continues to be a name Illinois works. The Michigan commit, four-star prospect out of Tennessee, Corey Patterson, Brett Bielema, Aaron Henry been working that one. I think what's tough is Michigan had such a great year. So it's going to be, I think it'd be really tough. I've thought all along to flip a guy from Michigan, but Tennessee's been trying to flip him too. But I think Michigan having that great year, that's got to be a difficult decision to leave that, right? Be a team that's in the college football playoff. But Illinois selling, hey, you can start right away. You can be the headliner here. You can be a face of this program and this program turnaround under Brett Bielema. So we'll see if they can pull that off. I wouldn't have the odds very high on that one, but you work it until he makes his decision. And Illinois's got some tight connections there, and he's been receptive to it all. So we'll see if they can do that. And then you got to find some transfers to help out the one you've gotten so far, Tommy DeVito. You get the Syracuse transfer. You know, it's a whole podcast on him. Now you got to surround him with more talent, and that's mostly on the offensive line. You got to protect him. Syracuse was not able to protect him, so he's running for his life. And if Illinois had last year's offensive line around Tommy DeVito, I think he'd be better than what he was at Syracuse, given the offense, given the protection you have. And I just think a style of play that can fit his skill set a little bit more, a more versatile offense, an offense that plays more situational football, can maybe be a little bit more dynamic. Listen, Dino Babers has had a lot of success offensively, but it's kind of that air raid, run and shoot thing that kind of giving the same looks all the time, and you're relying on downfield passing all the time. I think having a good running game, using the tight ends, can help Tommy DeVito out. But you got to be able to run the ball, and you got to be able to protect him. And right now you have Julian Pearl that you can count on the offensive line. Jordan Slaughter, if he were healthy last year, I think he would have started some games. So maybe with him coming back from injury, you feel good about that spot. But the three other spots, you're counting on redshirt freshmen like Zach Barlev and Josh Kreutz. Alex Pilstrom, you think can be serviceable. He's been a solid player since, you know, converting from a walk-on tight end to a scholarship offensive line, but you need more options. You need more depth there, and you need guys who can play right away. Then I think you got to add a tight end to help replace Daniel Barker, and then you need some defensive help. Now with Kirby Joseph entering the draft, and seems like he's going to stay in there, you probably need to add a safety. I think Quan Martin can play that. I think he can play free safety, so maybe you can find a nickel and a cornerback who can kind of help you at that position, because maybe Taz Nicholson can play nickel, right? And then you add a transfer cornerback. They've offered Gabe Judy Lally from Vanderbilt. I think that'd be a great addition, and I think you'd feel good about your secondary, even if Kirby leaves, because Kwan played pretty well last year. Sidney Brown played really well last year. Devin Witherspoon played really well last year. You at least need one more starting piece in that secondary, and then you can figure out how to play them all. And help some of those freshmen, right, like Keyonte Curry, are ready to be in the two deep. You know, Daniel Edwards or Tyler Strain, some of those guys are able to step up and give you something next year and be able to play in the rotation. Edge rusher, you got some talent there, right? I think Seth Coleman is an exciting prospect who showed some flashes last year, and kind of being in his fourth year, it'll be at Illinois. I think he's going to be ready for a huge role. You've already added Virginia Tech transfer Alec Bryant, who's a former four-star prospect. Ezekiel Holmes played this year, and I think can give you a solid option. And then they recruited DJ Johnson last year, and he played. So he's going to be a sophomore this next year. I think they're pretty high on him. You want to upgrade everything, right? Inside linebacker, you might need some depth now. Kalon Tolson, surprisingly, entering the draft. So could you add a piece there? I think get some depth with walk-ons and some young players, but if Tariq Barnes or C.J. Hart went down, do you have a guy you feel good as a starter? I'm not quite sure. So maybe they look at that position as well. And wide receiver, I don't know if it's as high with this staff. I think they'd love a number one, but with Isaiah Williams, Casey Washington, Deuce Spann, you have some talent there, but I think you'd love to add one more guy. And this is all speculation, but if Tommy DeVito could give Taj Harris a call at Syracuse, that might help. He would certainly help. So we'll see where they go from here. But I could tell you offensive line is the top need. Defensive line, they love to add a nose guard, and it seems like they're in a really good spot with Tayra Edwards, the Northwestern defensive lineman who has 4 years of eligibility. So gives you a short-term boost and competes with Calvin Avery and Virtus Brown. Maybe get that rotation right away. Didn't play a lot at Northwestern, so don't know what you're counting on right away. But he's got 4 years of eligibility too, so they don't have a nose guard in this class. I think Tayra Edwards basically is a 21-year-old. It's probably the best option they could get at that defensive line spot, that nose guard spot. So a lot going on with Illinois football and a lot of needs. Despite filling a lot in this class, this foundation class of 2022, I think you're looking at the transfer portal to really boost your program in 2022 and keep you competitive and to not take a big step back. So they got a lot of work to do despite filling a lot of spots in this class of 2022. And then the class of 2023, I agree with Alan. I don't think you got to change very much, but you'd love to win more of those big battles. And the one I keep pointing to is Caden Fagan out of Atwood, Illinois, right in your backyard. But you're going to have to beat Iowa. You're going to have to beat Notre Dame. And you felt Brian Kelly leaving, right, Notre Dame. Maybe that helps Illinois. I don't know if it does with Marcus Freeman there, who's a dynamic recruiter. And Notre Dame, obviously, with all their history, and they've hosted Fagan for a lot of times. So some big recruitments you'd love to win. Roderick Pierce is a very important one. I think a Brother Rice defensive tackle who's been on campus several times. I think he's kind of a top 10, top 15 prospect in the state that you'd love to lock down. So just a couple early in-state names that I think could be really important for the Illini. And, of course, quarterback. You got to keep improving that position. You got to find a long-term solution from the high school route that after Tommy DeVito, can you go to Donovan Leary? Can you go to whoever your 2023 prospect is? They'll be young, right? I think you'll be back in the portal next year, but that's got to be taken care of for the long term. You got to have more in-house options on that. All right, those are my thoughts leading into early signing period. Hope you enjoyed Alan True. Really appreciate his time. And keep tuned to Illini Inquirer for all the latest with Illinois football recruiting, of course, basketball. Derek, with more time on his hands, going to get out to more high school basketball games as well. And some more, obviously, bragging rights right around the corner as well. So great time to sign up for a VIP membership. We got a signing day special, 50% off an annual VIP subscription for new users as well as monthly VIP users. If you want to upgrade, you want a deal to help you upgrade, save $60, now's the time to do it at IlliniInquirer.com. Thanks for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Give us a follow, rating, review, wherever you get your podcasts. And everybody have a great day. Take care of each other. We'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.